Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, February 6th, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today we're in Genesis chapter 29 and we will begin with, I'm going to begin in the middle of verse 14, but our guide says start in verse 15 and we'll go through the end of the chapter. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also, in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." And she named him Simeon. Again, she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Before we move on, I just want to comment that I have so many questions about this text, don't you? How in the world could Jacob not know that it was Leah lying in bed with him? And how is it that Laban could have done such trickery? It was interesting that Laban tricked the trickster, Jacob. I've talked about my cats in some of my Bible study lessons, but we used to have three cats, Jackie, Leah, and Sparkle. Well, Leah, we named because she was kind of cross-eyed, and she always reminded me of this story of Leah in the Bible, the ugly one. She was the one that nobody wanted to marry, and Laban was looking out for her. But it's just a convoluted story, isn't it? We can hardly put ourselves in that society where, in the end, I think that Jacob is going to have four wives, and there's going to be a lot of dissension that is caused because of it. Let's move on now to Psalm 56. For the director of music, to the tune of A Dove on Distant Oaks, of David a miktam when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My enemies pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape in your anger, God. Bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And now let's go over to the book of Mark. We are only in the book of Mark 2 more days. And I'm sad to see us finish this book because it has been a wonderful reminder of the beautiful nature of our Savior. Mark 15, verse 21 through the end of the chapter. The title in my Bible says, The Crucifixion of Jesus. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. And they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews. They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, Surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Every time I read Jesus' cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I find it important to remind you that this is a reference to Psalm 22. When David starts out with the cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? But as you read the psalm, you recognize that he wasn't really forsaken. He just felt forsaken, like you and I sometimes feel forsaken. Jesus, our Lord, who was fully God and fully man, also felt that emotion of forsakenness. But if you read the rest of the psalm, you know that God raises David up. And he also, if you know the rest of the story, he raises Jesus from the dead so that he can proclaim victory over death and over sin. And so I just want to remind you today that God does not forsake us. God cannot forsake himself. So as we end today with prayer, I wanted to go to do some alphabet work, but I'm cheating. I'm going to tell you that up front. I have a Bible study book called God of Deliverance by Jen Wilkin, and in the back there's an appendix that is the attributes of God. So I'm just going to pray through a couple of these. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you that we know the rest of the story, that Jesus doesn't just stay in the grave, but he is raised from the dead. And for that, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for your compassionate heart towards us, that you are our deliverer. You rescue and save us from our sin. You are faithful in keeping your promises. You are good. You do what is best, and you give what is best. You are incomprehensible, meaning you are beyond our understanding. We can only understand you in part, but not in whole. Lord, you are just and loving and merciful and patient with us. Thank you that we can find refuge in you. You're a place of safety and protection for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign over all the details. You are in control of all things. You are wise. You know what is best, and you act accordingly. You are worthy of all of our worship. And you, Lord, deserve all praise and all glory on this Sunday and on all days. And we pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen.